speciale Manifesta 7. Voci, suoni, interviste e incontri dalla Biennale d'Arte Contemporanea Europea quest'anno in Italia. Tutti gli approfondimenti su radiopapesse.org. Jorge Otero Pailos è un architetto specializzato in tecniche sperimentali di conservazione. A Bolzano ha lavorato su un'intera parete dell'ex Alumix. Il suo lavoro, The Ethic of Dust, consiste in un'operazione di mappatura storica dell'inquinamento ambientale depositato sulle pareti dell'acciaieria. Insieme ai suoi collaboratori, ha steso sul muro dei fogli di lattice, che una volta staccati diventano perfette copie della parete, e documento storico delle polveri che nell'arco di 70 anni si sono depositate. In questa intervista con Lorenzo Fusi spiega le ragioni del suo interesse per la polvere e l'inquinamento come materiali artistici, del significato e del valore degli interventi di conservazione, quando la polvere è da una parte vista come scarto e allo stesso tempo come metafora della storia e dell'identità più profonda di un'architettura e di un'opera. L'intervista è in inglese.
Now, it seems that architecture is quite a predominant feature in this edition of Manifest. And how do you find yourself as an architect by education in this context? How do you feel? Do you feel comfortable in this context or not?
I do, actually. One of the things I like about the way that architecture is presented in this show is that architecture appears as something that was already there before the architects arrived. And I think that's really quite nice, because normally when we talk about architects, we tend to think of them as making everything new. And part of what I'm interested in is in discovering architecture and existing buildings. So I feel very connected to the philosophy of the way that RACS have conceptualized or reconceptualized architecture.
Can you please describe your intervention here, Manifesta?
What I did is really very simple. I intervened into an existing preservation process. The commune was cleaning the building and preparing it to become an art venue. And I asked them not to clean one of the walls in the building. And I proposed that I would clean the wall in a much more scientific way, which is to really map and transfer all the pollution on the wall that has been accumulated since 1937 onto latex and do a latex cast of the wall. And then to just simply separate that 1 millimeter of pollution 1 meter away from the wall, so that you could begin to see the pollution as a material on its own and see the relationship of it to the existing wall.
We have one question from the listeners, which is, can you please go through a little bit more in detail with regard to the technique you used over here?
Sure.
For this one piece.
The technique is the cutting edge of preservation cleaning at this point. It is a technique that was developed in Belgium. It's a latex dispersion, so it's latex, it's based. Latex is water-based. It has, within the latex, a chemical. It's a patented chemical mixture that loosens the pollution from the wall and then transfers it onto the latex and adheres it to the latex. So the longer you leave the latex on the wall, the more it cleans. If you want very little cleaning, you leave it very little time. And if you want a lot of cleaning, you leave it a lot of time. We left it 48 hours, and then we removed it, and then it has to dry. It's a very expensive technique. It's used only for very, very precious interiors like cathedrals and so on. It was used in St. Paul's Cathedral in London. It was used in St. John the Divine in New York. It was used in the Royal Palace in Madrid. So the act of using this very precious technique of cleaning buildings in a very industrial, rough building for me was also very interesting. Because really, experimental preservation has to do with isolating various experiences of architecture. So acoustic experiences, visual experiences, aromatic experiences, and so taking each of them, isolating them and intensifying them. So one of the projects I've been working on is to reconstruct a building, but only the aroma of the building. So instead of reconstructing the physical space, to reconstruct the aromatic space, which is very difficult because, you know, you reach saturation very quickly. It's very difficult to smell something for a very long time. So you have to really regulate things so you can time it. And that's the question of time is really what really interests me. So it's very different. Each of the senses is capable of of registering time differently. The smell, you can't really, the rhythm is not the same thing. You don't really have rhythm in smell. You have saturation. All these visuals is a whole other thing. I mean, we sometimes translate, we say that painting has a visual rhythm, you know, but it's, you know, the translation between the senses is a very difficult thing. So right now we're just kind of trying to isolate them and trying to work on each one of them individually.
So this is about, as you were saying, kind of mapping history of a site by unconventional means, but also it's a very personal journey, the one you're proposing.
Yeah, the question of history is really important because, in fact, in the history of architectural preservation, the layer of dust that settles on buildings is identified with history. So people have, since the 19th century, had very strong debates about whether you clean or not clean buildings, because cleaning buildings was associated with destroying their history. So what I'm proposing is a way to clean the building, but at the same time, preserve the history of the building.
So that's kind of interesting as well, because in terms of art history, there's a very similar debate, which goes back to the idea to have like sculptures, but they do have a pattern, and the moment you remove a pattern, of course, you remove a part of the actual, not only history, but the nature, the very same nature of the artwork. And it's kind of interesting that you can trace a parallel with architecture as a sort of a living entity as well, which has history is combined by that traces of dust and pollution, whatever else, which really creates the entity, the essence of a site. So,
yeah, there is a definite connection to art history here. Of course, the question of patina is really important, and varnishes, which, you know, they're of course different things. In architecture, a lot of times, because they're not as sophisticated as, you know, art conservators and so on, when you had to clean the building, you painted it, you know, because it's cheaper than going over and cleaning it. So what's interesting is that pollution gets trapped between layers of paint. So what we have here is the wall's been repainted twice. So we have layers of pollution inside of layers of paint. And modern paints are very easy to date, so we can really trace exactly what people were breathing in the alumics.
There is also this kind of anthropological work, I could say, in that, just going back.
Very much. I mean, one of the things that is really important to me is this: the pollution itself is one of the most important materials that we've produced as a modern society, but we never really think of it as a material. It has very negative associations. People want to destroy it. They want to eliminate it, want to get rid of it. And so we don't have a history of pollution. Pollution is always something that people think of as, in the future, it's going to be a problem. But we don't think of the fact that it's been around for a very long time now. And so part of what this work is trying to do is to create a document of pollution, very specific to Bolzano, so that people can look at it in the future and begin to write the history of pollution. So there is that kind of sociological dimension to the work.
It could be interesting also to find out something about the acoustic pollution, because it was a steel mill, so I guess it was very noisy and disturbing.
Yeah. Absolutely. I mean, I think that there's different levels of pollution. There's different types of pollution. There's airborne pollution, which is really what this work deals mm-hmm. with, is with airborne pollution, dust. Some people have been working with acoustic pollution. There's also, you know, waterborne pollution. There's subterranean pollution. There's various types. but we haven't really begun to think about it. And also, you know, to think about it as an artistic material. Pollution has a very negative kind of connotation, so we tend to think of it as something to get rid of. And what's interesting is that since the 19th century, the idea to clean has made our environments very, very homogeneous. So people have been cleaning, for instance, the smell of cities. So, it's very hard to have a very kind of rich smell experience in a city these days. Things don't really smell very much. And when they do, you know, there's a lot of criticism. It's really the medical profession has been pushing to have cities be cleaner and so on. So part of this is also to begin to deal with the richness that that we bring to the world and how we've transformed it through unintended consequences. That's really the thing that really interests me the most about pollution, is that it's a material that nobody really thought about. It's the kind of leftover. And that's why part of, you know, this ties into the rest of now, right? The theme of the show.
That would be my next question. How do you think that your own intervention relates to within this context in terms of the other artworks? Have you been noticing yourself like direct connections or dialogues between your piece and the other piece, which I want to show over here? And if so, which one are the bonds or the connections?
I've really enjoyed being in the show because I've discovered so much from all the other pieces. I think the piece that Siv Helen and Reinhard from Norway have done is also very interesting because they're dealing with something, you know, mold growth in the building itself and trying to give it a kind of representation. I think the piece that Sjivilnas has done, where he's trying to project the skylight and bring it down, are pieces that are discovering other experiences within the building. And this idea of looking at other experiences within the building is something that interests me a lot. Going back to the original question of discovering architecture as opposed to making it, my interest in pollution is to discover architectural material that, you know, questions the notion of intentional or intentionality in the work of art in architecture. So it's a material that doesn't have an intentionality, you know, that it is the kind of leftover. And I'm interested in architecture that way, to think of architecture that is not purely the work of an intentional drive. So to discover a kind of unintentional architecture that is beyond kind of one authorship, one person thinking about it, you know, and that has to go hand in hand with new materials. You have to work with a certain material in order to be able to explore that question. And so that's why I got interested in pollution. So
that would be like the most spontaneous question. Have you been ever a practicing architect?
I have worked as an architect. I do work as an architect, a restoration architect. Yes. But I've always, from the beginning, worked on existing buildings.
Right. That's the question.
Yeah. I've always worked on something that was already there. Never really. And even if you were to, I would argue that even if you were to do a new construction, there's something already there, but we tend to not look at it.
Theoretically, not necessarily in this one case, but I'm thinking, how long do you want to keep it, and how long you want to get in the depth of a passage of time? What would be considered theoretically or morally correct in terms of proper restoration?
Thank you for that question, because I think that's really the critical question that we seldom ask of buildings. How long should that building be there? How long should we use it a particular way? The question of time is usually regulated by commercial economic interests. So for instance, how long you can deduct the buildings from your taxes, the cost of the building from your taxes, and when you're done, then you can demolish the building. So this is one way of timing buildings that is unrelated or only partially related to the experience. And I'm interested in the experience of buildings. So I would like this work to raise that question. I can't entirely answer it, but I would like this to really be a document that is able to be used by other generations. So I want it to last more than, let's say, 50 years or 75 years, so that other generations can study what we've been doing.